Amen. Thank you, worship team. This one, we'd like to dismiss our children's ministry, and Impact is staying in here today, so our middle schoolers hang out with us. Good morning, everybody. How are you all doing? Good, pretty good. Some tired voices from some Portland people, I think. We're home. We spent a week in Portland. We missed you guys last Sunday because we met up at about 5:45. What time did we meet? 5:45? 6? We were supposed to be 5:45. Some of us got here at 6. And we headed up to Portland. It was about a 13-hour trip going up. We came home. Students and some of the adults had to use the bathroom less on the way home because they were sleeping more, so we made it a little quicker with less stops. But thank you guys so much for praying for us and for being on that trip with us, because it was a huge, huge blessing to have your support through all of it. We're going to share a little about that today as we are in our series called Iron Sharpens Iron. It's a series where we talk about the fact that other people in our lives, keep using the phrase, that a healthy inreach, interacting with people in fellowship, make us sharper, more effective tools for the outreach that we're called to do. And so it's important to have different types of relationships and interact with different types of people that help make us stronger. And so far we've talked about a handful of different ones. We've talked about the truth teller, the person that says the hard things to us. We've talked about the Matthew party host, who might not be the person that necessarily speaks things directly to you, but they create an environment for you to receive truth from people, or an environment for you to be able to serve. We've talked about the listener, people that you can vent to and talk to and process things with without having a bunch of things come back, a bunch of advice come back, but someone that just soaks that in. We talked about the discipler. I got them all? Wow. I'm still on Portland time, so that's a joke. They're in the same time zone. I'm just tired. today we're talking about the listener. I'm tired. Today we're talking about the encourager. I've heard this message already. We're talking about the visionary, the encourager, and the biggest fan. And this is someone that's very important to have in your life. Let me begin by just saying that today my heart is super full. My body is exhausted. But my soul is overflowing. Two out of the last 3 weeks, I've been able to be part of some amazing ministries. And I've witnessed people embracing their calling and offering up both their strengths and weaknesses for God's glory. And I've seen the power and love of God working in the lives of people as they allow themselves to be fully seen. And 2 weeks ago, I was at Mount Hermon, which is a youth camp, and I was specifically at the camp. This group that we're with, we take over 5 conference grounds throughout the Santa Cruz Mountains. And I was at a conference grounds with 160 8th and 9th graders, and we talked about broken hope. And what we did is we took a big tile, big white tile that represented God, white and pure and clean, and we gave all the students small white tiles, ceramic tiles that represented them being made in the image of God. And throughout the week, we talked about the chips and the cracks that we get on us, and sometimes we get these cracks and these holes that we try to fill with other things. But you guys know, if you have a cracked tile and you try to fill it with the wrong thing, what does it do to the crack? Makes it bigger, spreads the crack. And so a lot of times we try to fill our lives, our cracks and our shortcomings with things that aren't what God wants for us. And then we try to cover it up, and a lot of times we cover it up with the wrong things. And so the students painted on these tiles things that represented their sin, different colors, different expressions. Then we took another white tile that was made in the image of God that stayed pure white, and that represented Jesus, and we shattered it. And we built an 8-foot cross, and we affixed the pieces of Jesus on that cross, just like Jesus was put on that cross for us, how he was broken for us, and that's what gives us hope. So then we talked about the fact that if we try to keep our cracked and chipped lives whole, we try to hold our pieces together, ourselves, we don't fit with other people because our cracks don't always line up, our chips don't always line up. So the students took their painted tiles that represent them, and they shattered them. And then they started to take the pieces of their brokenness and affix that around on the cross around the pieces of Jesus. And all the different pieces from all the different people at this camp started to fit in perfectly with each other to make this beautiful mosaic cross. And we took a step back and we looked at when we allowed ourselves to be broken, we allowed different pieces of ourselves, even the pieces that we were trying to hide, when we allow those to be seen and used by God, it fits in to make a beautiful story for His glory. Sometimes it exposes our weaknesses, but God says, I can use that. And so we spent the week praying over our brokenness and our shortcomings and our sins and saying, God, will you use this, please? After that camp, talking about broken hope, right? We have hope because Jesus was broken. We have hope when we're broken. Came home and I was tired for a whole week and got enough energy about Saturday to be ready for the mission trip, which we left for on Sunday. Last week, we spent the week in Portland, and I saw two main things happen. One, I saw that our group, our team, was learning how to see people. We were learning how to see the homeless. We're learning how to see people in shelters, those that were abused, even the people that we were working next to, even the people on our own team and the people that we were serving with. Being able to see and validate that we're all created in God's image, and no matter what our life circumstance was, that we were equally created by God. And sometimes people are overlooked, and that's one of the things that started to break the heart of different people that I talked to on our team, is seeing the people that are unseen. And so on the first day, we do this thing called a culture walk, and we take our team and we walk around downtown Portland, and Portland has a huge homeless population. You know, every night, there are about 5,000 people sleeping on the streets of Portland. And so we walk around, and you see all these upscale shops and these really trendy food trucks, and right next to it, you'll see four homeless teenagers sleeping on the ground. And so with my group, praise God, someone that I was walking with, Alyssa, had injured her foot the day before we went up. So when we were doing the culture walk, she couldn't walk. That was a huge blessing to me, because I didn't have to walk around the, I don't know how long that track was that we were supposed to walk on. So we walked about three blocks, and we sat down. We encountered our first set of homeless. There was a family sitting on a corner asking for change, and across the street there were two. There was a homeless couple, and so we just sat a few, maybe 20 feet down from them, and I just asked the people I was with. I said, "Will you guys just watch? We're gonna sit on this corner. We're gonna eat our lunch, and I want you to watch how many people say anything to these couples." And I took a video of it. So if we could just show that video of what it was like when we were sitting and watching. You'll see the couple, the lady is wearing pink. Right there, yep, right there against the pole. And these are all the people that are walking by. And it's amazing to see that there could be people made in the image of God, beautiful creations, handmade, sitting on a street corner and never being acknowledged. I mean, I'm not even talking about given money or food. I'm just talking about someone walking by and saying, "Hello, how are you? How's your day?" And so that was a big thing that we were learning. And what we started to realize throughout the week, and a lot, we had three different teams. We're split up in three different teams, but I started seeing that as I started to see the homeless more, I started seeing my team more too. And I think that there were things that we overlook in each other, even though we were seeing each other every day. The other theme that I saw is that I saw people offering up our everything, even our shortcomings, for God to use. Exactly what we talked about during Broken Hope 2 weeks ago. People that weren't even at the camp were coming up and saying, "Hey, I think once I let go of my weaknesses, that God's going to use it." And it was something I heard over and over again through all the different teams. I had a full team of encouragers and visionaries. I saw our Portland team cheering each other on. And as I'm prepping this message, I sit back and I watch our students interacting, and I watch our adults interacting with our students, and our students interacting with our adults. And I saw a team of visionaries and encouragers and people going up to each other saying, hey, what you're doing is awesome, keep it up. Or someone saying, man, I had a really hard day today. I think I could have done more. And someone coming up and going, yeah, use that. God's going to use that. You can do it. And I saw people praying with each other and encouraging each other and staying up to horrible hours of the night. I think I slept about most 4 hours a night, and some hours about three. And then I got in a car and drove for 12 hours to get home. Praise God for safety. But this year we had, that was amazing. We also had an amazing home team that I know was praying for us, and they were planning and prepping. And they sent encouragement cards up with our team that people wrote a month ago that played a huge role in the week. And we want to share about that a little bit today. We also had people that offered up cars and vans that helped us get around, which is a huge blessing. We had people help us get hundreds of dollars worth of socks that opened up doors in Portland that would have never opened up if we didn't have them with us. We are always passing out food when we're in Portland, and sometimes people don't want it. But every person we walked by, hey, can I give you a lunch? No, it's okay. I have socks too. Yeah, I'll take socks. Boom, conversation happens right there. So you guys, this home team was such a huge blessing to us. Let me read the theme verse that we keep coming back to for Iron Sharpens Iron. And we talk about, there's an actual verse that talks about iron sharpens iron, so that's part of it too, but that's pretty much the verse for that one. The other one is Hebrews 10:24-25, and it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good works. So let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Let us encourage one another. All the more as you see the day approaching. Let's encourage one another on, and let's see how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. The role of the vision and encourager is someone that says the words and says the things that make you want to do more, that help you see that there's a purpose for your life more than just sitting, more than just existing, more than living, breathing, spending money, eating, and dying, that there is a purpose for your life. Let me give you the main thought for today's message. And to my Portland team, this is something that I wrote 2 months ago. And as we read it, you could see how the timing that God had for this to come after Portland is amazing. So this is the main thought. This is the person in your life that you love to meet with, as opposed to a few weeks ago, I talked about the truth teller, who's the person in your life that you never want to hang out with, right? Okay, so the encourager and the visionary, this is the person in your life that you love to meet with. Whenever you walk away from them, you leave feeling inspired to do more. You're encouraged to try harder or full of energy to keep fighting whatever you are going through. This person can see your potential. They see the silver lining in every attempt and in every failure, and they know when you're down and need positive words to be energized to continue on. They stand in contrast but also complement the truth teller as both work towards seeing you accomplish your goals by living out your giftings. Meeting together to encourage one another on towards love and good deeds with a visionary and encourager leads to understanding your purpose, being rejuvenated to continue, and inspired to love to do good deeds. This is an important person to have in your life. And you guys might already be thinking, I know this person. Like when this person calls me, I go, hey, we haven't seen each other in a while. I want to get coffee. You're like, yes. Like, I'll be there. They're the person that looks at you and says, man, keep it up. Keep going. Keep doing it. Let me read one more verse to you. And then I want to tell you guys a magical, fantastical story about Portland. Okay. Hebrews 3:13-14 says, exhort one another each day, as it is called today, that none of you may become hardened by sin's deception. For we have become partners with Christ. In fact, we hold our initial confidence firm until the end. I love this, exhort one another each day as long as it is called today. I used to work at a restaurant called Joe's Crab Shack in San Francisco, and they're all over. If you guys have been there, it's fun. The waiters dance. We get to be silly. It's my type of restaurant. And there was a sign outside of our restaurant in San Francisco that said, free crab tomorrow. And so we started working, and we're like, hey, what happens if someone asks about that sign, free crab tomorrow? And they're like, it's really simple. You just go, yeah, it's tomorrow, come back. And the next day they come back, and they'll say, hey, I'm here for the free crab. And you go, yeah, go check the sign. It's actually tomorrow. Why don't you come on back? And then if they come back, they go, hey, I'm here for the free crab. I was here yesterday. And you're like, oh, let me check the sign. Nope, it's still tomorrow. So it's kind of a fun thing that we could do with people. I love this verse because it says, as long as it is called today, encourage, exhort, be a visionary for people. As long as it's called today, well, guess what? Today is called today. Tomorrow, when we're living in it, will be called today. That's another day to encourage someone. And so when we're in Portland, that's really what it was for us, is every day it was encouraging someone. It was speaking to someone. It was speaking life to someone. And I had truth tellers on the team. I failed as a leader a bunch of times and had people, gracious, wonderful people that came up to me and said, hey, I have a really hard time with the way that things are happening. And I could just look at them and say, thank you so much for telling me. Thank you for telling me graciously, too. And I'm sorry I put you in these different positions. And I failed a bunch as a leader. But thank God that there were people to sharpen me up there. The ministry we went with, Kaleo, they are an organization that works in multiple different cities that brings churches to these cities to partner with ministries in those cities. So we're not going there to do Pathway ministry in Portland. We're going to do Portland ministry in Portland and to support those people. And so Kaleo, that is our Matthew Party host for the week. They got us together. Hey, you're a great ministry. Hey, you're a great church. You can serve them, and they're going to bless people. And so they got us together and did that. And there were people on our team that were amazing listeners. There were disciplers, people mentoring each other. And there was a lot of encouragement. So we get up to Portland. I was in one of the three teams, originally called Team 2. We refer to ourselves now as Team Shook. Shook. There you go. From the first morning, we started a unofficial hashtag that we've never hashtagged anything with, but we called them Keely's Coincidences. Things just started happening around our team, and it started with Keely, who the very first morning, we're going to do a VBS, a kids club. We walked into this amazing ministry called Open House that takes people off of the street and gives them not just a room, but they give them a room with a kitchen and their own bathroom with beds for their children that are fully furnished with plates and linens, and those families get to live there and take everything with them as they recover. They do job training in a bike shop and a thrift store and a cafe and a clothing store and an antique store, and they train people to get jobs as they're recovering from addictions, as they're being discipled and going to Bible studies, all in this amazing ministry, all wrapped into one. It's beautiful. We've been there a number of years. And so we walk in, and we start playing with the kids, and, you know, we're a new team. They've had different teams come in different weeks, so some of them get shy, some of them get excited to see what's going to happen. And one girl goes and stands off in the corner, and Keely, say hi, Keely. That's Keely. Keely walks over to this girl and goes, hi, what's your name? And she goes, my name's Keely. And Keely goes, what? She goes, my name's Keely. So, my name's Keely. And they start talking and hanging out. There's a picture of, I took a picture of Keely just a few minutes later, sitting down. She runs over to a table, grabs a piece of paper, and starts writing. And it says, dear Keely, I like you. Will you be my friend? And just a few minutes later, I see her holding the paper behind her back, scooting over to our Keely like this, and then just hands it over to her. And that's where it began. Well, what's crazy is our Keely here has an older brother, has a younger sister, and the youngest brother who has Down syndrome. Their Keely has an older brother, a younger sister, and a younger brother who has Downs. So, come on. You can't make that up, right? And so we're sitting there, we're like, man, this is where we need to be. Like, God had a reason for us to be here. Well, the next day is one of the hardest days for me personally and for people on our team. We did our morning ministry, and it was awesome, and we broke a little bit early to kind of tour some of the other facilities. I wanted to bring Lawrence, who was on our team, Keely's dad, and also Keely's sister, Kira, was on our team. This is unofficially hashtag the Mui Family Missions Trip, or the Mui Family Missions Team. Actually, each of the teams had families. They're on every team, parents and kids serving together. It was really cool to see. So next year, start planning families. And so we go to this to the cafe, and we tell our students, like, you can order coffee, you can check out the thrift store. It's a two-story building. There's an upstairs with clothing, downstairs with the thrift store. The cafe is right there, and we're sitting by the front door. So I'm looking through some of the books. I'm getting ready to order my coffee. And everything that they sell actually supports the ministry. So we're like, yeah, spend a ton of money. And so hanging out, looking at books and stuff like that. And then at one point, I look at the clock. I'm like, well, we got to start wrapping it up. So I run upstairs to the clothing room. And I find five of the girls on our team. And they're all just going crazy. Like, oh, look at this jacket. Look at this. And then someone comes and goes, hey, it's two for Tuesday, meaning if you buy one, you get one free. Like, wow. And then so people that weren't shopping were like, what? And start grabbing things. And I was like, hey, guys, you got about 10 minutes. Come back down. And start walking back downstairs. And I kind of stop for a second. And I go, there were five students up there and no adults. But it was five very mature students that I trust. And I'm sitting at the bottom of the staircase, basically. And I was like, oh, I'll just wait downstairs. So I walk down. Right on time, about 10 minutes later, I see some of our students standing in line to buy things. And I see Keely and Kira standing there, and Kira is just calling over to Lawrence in the cafe with me. Lawrence, not Lawrence, Dad, come here. Right? And I look at Lawrence and just look and I go, they had a lot of stuff upstairs. They probably want your credit card. And so Lawrence gets up and goes over. Then they all come and sit down. And then I'm like, guys, we got to go. So we start packing up the cars. I'm in my small car that I brought up, and then everyone else is in the van. And we start walking over, we get in, and I see the three Muis walking very slowly to the car. And eventually they get close enough. Keely hops, just walks, makes a straight line to my car, hops in the seat that she was in. And Kira and Lawrence are talking slowly, and as they're walking, I just hear Kira say, we wanted you to come over, but I didn't want to leave Keely alone. And she goes around and gets in the car. And then Lawrence gets in, and I'm like, what? So I get in the car, and I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and Keely's behind me on the right. And I go, Keely, what happened? She said, well, we were upstairs shopping, and there was a man up there that just kept looking at us really inappropriately, and he made me feel really uncomfortable. And so I would move away, and I would shop more, and I would turn around, and he'd be staring at me. And it made me very uncomfortable. And so she called Kira over to her. Kira stayed by her side. They eventually made it down the stairs. And as they were on the stairs, he was there with his mom, and they were moving slowly, and they eventually let them by. And it said something to her, right? You guys said, thank you for letting us through. And he said, like, you're welcome, sweetie, or something like that. Sure thing, sweetheart, as she walked by. And they got in line to buy their things, and he came up and stood behind them. So she was feeling uncomfortable, and the cashier was there and gave the guy behind her a weird look, and then looked at Keely and gave a smile. And Keely said she felt a little piece or a little something from that cashier. And that's when she said, hey, Kira, can you get Dad? And then she said, actually, don't go. Stay with me. And so that's when Kira goes, Dad, can you come here, please? And when that happened, this guy just went, I got to get something from my car, and he walked out. And so Keely walks over to the cafe and picks up her backpack and looks at a keychain that she put on before the missions trip. It says, be strong and courageous, right? For the Lord is always by your side, Joshua 1:9. She's like, man, God was there. So she's in the car crying, and she's like, I just, like, the fact that I read that, like, I was scared, and I'm sitting there broken, crying in the car as I'm driving, not safe. But the fact that I felt an urge, like, Tim, there's five students up there. Maybe you should stay up there. Like, I apologized to Lawrence up there a bunch of times. Daphne, I'm sorry. Like, I wasn't there to protect my students, which is my job. And again, failing as a leader was the theme of the week for me. And so we drive, we have lunch, and we have this thing at Mount Hermon Culture, we call it CT, which stands for cabin time. Anytime you have a talk with a small group, like a serious talk, you call it a CT, like cabin time. That's what you do at camps. And so I have Keely, in my car with Abby and Annabelle, and we're driving. We get to our next ministry early, so I turn around, you guys want a CT? So we start talking about like some of the kids that we're ministering and what we can do, and we get updates. We got some updates from the kids we ministered to last year from this ministry, and Keely shares about this girl in our kids club. And we're going to protect them, and so we're using different names, so excuse me if I pause, but there's a little girl that we'll call Jill. And Jill, that morning, Tuesday morning, walked up to Keely and just touched her in her neck and said, "You protect yourself." And Keely went, "That's kind of weird," and she goes, "That's what my daddy teaches me." And she was like, "Okay." She goes, "Yeah." So Keely's telling the story. She goes, "Yeah, that was kind of weird." And I'm looking at Keely like this. And she goes, "What? What?" I go, "Keely, think about the order that things happened. This girl only said this to you. No one else on our team, with everyone else around, she walked up to you, touched you on your neck, and said, 'You protect yourself.' You went shopping, and you felt in danger. And you pulled your sister over to you. You protected yourself. And then you grabbed your backpack, and it said, 'Be strong and courageous. The Lord is always by your side.'" And we're like, whoa, Keely's coincidences, right? So we think like, okay, God, you're amazing, and we're totally geeking out about that, right? And so we go on the rest of our day, we get to our debrief, Keely shares her story, she talks about that. I'm talking about offering up my brokenness and my failure as a leader, but praising God for watching over her and orchestrating all of this, right? And so we take these encouragement cards that that the home team put together. Christiana put out a bunch of cards that people could write on and drop it off, and we would just hand it out randomly to the team. And so I was going to give it out Monday morning, and I forgot, leader failure. I was going to hand it out Monday night, and I forgot, leader failure. I was going to give it Tuesday morning before people went out, leader failure. So I grabbed it Tuesday night because one of the Kaleo people we were working with, I had told him about it. She grabbed me as I was running by, taking care of other stuff. She goes, "Don't forget the encouragement cards tonight." I was like, okay. So I grabbed the encouragement cards. I give two to each team. I give two to our team, which is Lawrence and Peggy, who is our other adult. And so Lawrence is looking at the two of them. He's puts them down on the bench, but one of them has a cute purple smiley face on it. And Lawrence is like, "I'm going to go for that card." And so as we're talking, we're like, "Hey, let's read these cards." Peggy reaches down and grabs the purple smiley face. And Lawrence goes, "Huh, okay." So Lawrence takes his card, and he opens it up, and he slides out a card that has a picture of a boxer, a dog on it. And I think we have a picture that shows that. So that's the card. And Lawrence goes, "This must be for Keely because she has always wanted a boxer." And so he opens it up, and it's a card from AJ, our drummer. And it says, "Pathway, we're praying for you. You're going to do amazing things in Portland. Be strong and courageous." It's the verse that was on her backpack. And so we're like, whoa, like totally freaking out. And so this has become one of our symbols anytime something, a coincidence happens, that you protect yourself. So we started doing this. Well, then we go inside and we got to prep for the next day. And we have to, it's Tuesday night. Wednesday night is our night off, so we don't have time to prep for Thursday on Wednesday night. So we're going to prep for 2 days worth of kids club. We make memory verses, we draw these posters. And so we go, okay, we got to prep for Wednesday and Thursday. And so Peggy and the students pick memory verses every day. And so they pick a memory verse, and they actually started working on Thursday before they started working on Wednesday. So, okay, what's the verse that we're going to do? Oh, let's do this verse or that verse. And so they start writing. And as they're writing it, they're like, "This verse is, you know, from Mark, this chapter, verse 31. And the students go, "Wait a second." And they look at that morning's verse. So that's Thursday's verse they're working on. They look at Tuesday's verse, and they go, "Huh. Tuesday's verse was Luke, whatever chapter, verse 31. Then they look at Monday's verse and they go, "Whoa, 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Like, that's crazy, this 31 thing, right? And if they did the Wednesday verse was not a 31. So if they did it in the right order, it wouldn't have gone that way. But they noticed the 31s. And then we geeked out about that, and they prepped, and they went to sleep. And I had to call Yumi and process everything that happened with me and failing to protect my students. And Yumi was a great encouragement to me, just helping me to see things in a different way and to see how God is working. And then finished with that, and I started journaling, which is an important part of processing missions. And so I'm like, I'm going to check out this Joshua 1:9 verse. Like, let me see what it's all about. And so I go and I start reading it, and I start looking into context and what God is really, God, what are you saying in this? Is that what it was, just to be protected? And I digital Bible, sorry. So I click the cross-reference, and it opens up, and it goes to Deuteronomy 31:6. So I text my team and I'm like, guys, Joshua 1:9, the verse that Keely's been, that popped up on her backpack, that was in that card, that Lawrence would have only, the only person that would have opened it up and seen the box and said, this must be for Keely. Had Peggy taken the other card, Lawrence wouldn't have noticed that. Would have still been cool, but not as obviously connected. And so we're like, man, God, you're doing amazing things. So I text that to them, go to sleep, and the next morning, wake up, and talking to our team about, like, did you see my text about Deuteronomy 31? And so this symbol became this symbol, 31, with the protect yourself. So if you see us doing this, you know what we're doing. And so we were just kind of, wow, that's so crazy. And someone just walking by just taps me on the shoulder and goes, hey, Tim, how many people are on your team this year? I was like, oh, 31. Whoa! Like, that's crazy, right? And so we're like, man, this is crazy. God, you're crazy. And the phrase I just kept using, like, all week is like, okay, God, okay. Like, I get it. So we go back to open house, and I pull Keely and Kira in to talk to the site coordinator, whose name is Vicky. And I go, hey, Vicky, something happened yesterday. We just want to tell you what happened. So they tell the story about how they felt unsafe. And so Vicky goes, I want to try to figure out who that cashier was to see if they noticed anything. Can you describe him? And so they describe, kind of looked like a normal guy. Okay, we have a lot of those, you know. I think he was wearing a shirt, like, you know. And then so we're like, okay, kind of gave up, and we went out and started playing with the kids. And so as I'm talking to Vicky, the front door is behind me. It opens up. People come in to sign in their kids, and Keely just walks straight up to us, stands right here with her head down and goes, the guy in the blue shirt, that's the cashier. And Vicky Lynn looks up and goes, oh, that's Jill's dad. Jill, the girl that walked up and touched her neck and said, you protect yourself, my daddy taught me that, is the cashier who saw her and smiled at her that made her feel safe. And then we're like, oh. Shook. And so that was crazy. So all of that happens. Wednesday afternoon is chapel. Everybody is required to go to chapel, even the elementary age students. So one of them was in there, and he's like, I'm going to chapel, and I want to sit by all of you guys. And we're like, okay, we'll see you down there. And so we walk down. I walk down a little bit late with Lawrence, and I see him sitting not with our students but behind them. So I'm like, oh, I'll go sit next to him. So I go, and I sit next to him. And as I'm sitting in chapel, I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to speak on Sunday. I got to start getting ready, start thinking about well, how can I be an encourager, all these different things. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting next to him because he wanted to sit with the team, but there was no one else from the team with him. And people are starting sharing, you know, pray for my boyfriend, he's in jail, pray for this, pray for my mom, she's sick, we're just getting off the streets, all these different things. And I'm looking around, and I see right behind me is Jill's dad. And so the whole message, like, the message was great, and I'm listening to it, but the whole time I'm thinking, be an encourager, be a visionary. I don't know what to say, God. So everything ends, and I turn around, and I'm like, hey, this is kind of weird, but are you Jill's dad? He goes, yeah. I was like, can I tell you what happened to us over the past couple of days? So I'm telling him this story, and I've told this story to other people on different teams. They're always like, wow, right? And I'm telling him, he goes, wow, thanks. I was like, God, I expected more. But he goes, Jill is really special, and she's really connected spiritually, and he talked about how she had encouraged him. So we're going to call him Jack, okay? So we have Jack and Jill. So Jill, Jack is dad. So Jack is like, yeah, Jill always helps us find our church. She always knows where we're supposed to be. And so the rest of our team is coming over as I'm telling the story. I'm like, hey, this is Keely. Thank you for helping her. I don't know if you realize you did it, but your smile helped. You being there helped. And so he goes, oh, okay. He goes, well, I got to go pick up Jill. So he goes upstairs. He goes, they always get mad when we're late. So he starts walking upstairs. We walk in behind him through the same door, and he sees us as he's signing her out. And he goes, do you want to stay a little bit longer, honey? And I think it's because we were talking to him. And she goes, yeah. So we go in and start playing with her, and then he just leaves. An hour later, I realized that one of our team members was missing for an hour, and it was Lawrence. And Lawrence has an amazing story of how God was using him this week and how God called him up there. So I want him to share this part of the story before I end the rest of what our team went through. Okay. So come on up, Lawrence. Do we have the mic?
just say, hello, can you hear me? Let me just say that if anyone's an example of an encourager, it would be Tim. He's just been amazing. Okay, so I'm Lawrence, hi, and I'm a sinner, and I'm 46. I lied to you guys at Friday. I'm actually 46, and I'm turning 47 in October, and I've been smoking since I was 15. Do the math. 46 minus 15? Shook! Yeah, I'm a smoker. And I grew up in a smoking household. I grew up with my grandparents, they smoked. My parents, they smoked. But I didn't start smoking until high school. My high school had a smoking section. Crazy, huh? Crazy. And I was really, after the GEMS camp, Kira came up to me and said, Dad, I want to go on missions and I want you to go with me. And I had already planned out another trip with the Boy Scouts, and we're leaving this Saturday for a week back to Oregon. And I talked to Daphne, I was talking to my staff, I'm like, this is tough, you know, because it kind of falls in through a lot of, I'm sorry, I'm not comfortable with my own voice. Is this better? Can I start, you want me to start over? Start over?
Wow.
Okay. First of all, I've done a lot of crying this past week, so if I, you know, tear up, give me, be patient. So I've been smoking for 31 years. I started with my grandparents, living with my grandparents, my father. I started smoking at 15, 31 years, the theme of 31. And I had a lot of reservations about going on this trip because, you know, I own my own business. It's hard to take time away from the office, usually no more than 10 days. I've already planned a week at the end of this month to go with my son and some of the Boy Scouts that Pathway Community Church sponsors for a week up in Oregon. So, and the other thing is my smoking. I was like, how am I going to hide this from the kids? So I said, you know, if I'm going to go, I'm going to have to quit. So my whole goal on this trip was to quit. First day, we roll up to Open House Ministries. Again, amazing. And the first thing we see is a bunch of parents sitting next to the parking lot smoking. When Keeley met Keeley, they were Tim has separated us that first day, and Keeley basically stayed in to work with the kids in the kids club, and the rest of us that were first-timers went on a tour. They pulled us into a room, Vicki Lynn, who's the director, pulled us into a room and watched a video. And the video was of two grandparents talking about breaking the cycle. They talking about them being addicts, about their daughters becoming addicts and changing their lives because of their grandchildren. So it's, you know, addiction can be genetic. You know, so some of us, you know, are prone to it. I myself am prone to it. Addictions can come in the forms of gambling, drugs, abuse. In my case, smoking. Alcohol is one of them. So that, it was like, okay, you know, that's cool that these grandparents are, you know, doing their thing. And then so after, God bless you. And then afterwards, went back in, went outside, had a smoke break, and you're listening, and I'm just sitting there, just standing there listening, and there's these stories of women. There's just, oh, hey, welcome to women and men. Welcome to, you know, this place. It's awesome. You know, we've been trying to get back our lives. They're coming in off the streets. They say the first time they saw their rooms, they just bawled, and they're crying, and I'm sitting there bawling with them. I mean, Tim can, you know, share. Every time I came in from a smoke break, my eyes were red. And so anyways, let's fast forward. We hear the stories of Keeley, you got your boxer, by the way, in the form of a card. But we hear all these stories. We hear all these stories, and Tim's, you know, figuring out that guy. And basically, there was that story of the family of the four kids that, you know, share the makeup. And I wanted to talk to her mom. I wanted to hear her story. I wanted to encourage her. And that morning after chapel, Well, let me just go back to chapel. Pastor Mark, who runs the bike shop, I think Tim was encouraging me to go to the bike shop because he really thought, you know, I was into cycling a few years ago. But Pastor Mark talked about Jesus unplugged, how Jesus didn't really reveal himself to everyone until after his 30 years. So his ministry started in his 31st year. All right, so I'm like, you know, shooken up. And then I go outside, and there's one woman there that talks to me. We're out there smoking. Her name is Cheyenne. I can share that with you. And I was asking her about this mom of four kids. I'm like, hey, what can you tell me about her? And she's like, yeah, she's going through a lot, you know. And, you know, I don't know if you'll have the opportunity to talk to her. And I said, well, you know what? And I told her about our story that, you know, first day I saw Connor, who's the youngest brother, and he just melted my heart. And she said, yeah, aren't they just beautiful kids? I have a sister who has Down syndrome, who has whatever. And I was like, wow, that's, you know, that's crazy. And she starts sharing, and I'm crying. And then I see Tim and Mackenzie going over to the coffee shop, and I'll be right with you. And then I go over there, and I'm bawling, I'm sharing with them. And then I look over. Tim goes to buy the coffee pot, and I look over, and there's Jack. And I go, and I'm like, I got to go over there. But I missed a story. So after chapel, when Jack Jill off, I went and had a break. And Jack and I shared about three cigarettes. And we talked. And I said, hey, you know what? I just want to thank you for, you know, for your daughter and blessing us here, you know, the protection that she did. And I asked him, you know, what's the story about protection? He's like, oh, yeah, she's great. My grandfather used to do that to me. So I started doing it to her. You know, generations. Think about that, generations. So, and then talking, he tells me about his story. They've moved around from place to place. Think every corner of the United States you can imagine, because he's on the run. He took Jill away from her mother because of abuse. He doesn't know what's going on. Again, I'm just sitting there bawling. And I came back from that break and told Tim, I was like, yeah, you know. And then before I walked away, I was like, hey, Jack, how can I pray for you? And he said, you know, you pray for my my calling. I feel moved to minister. I feel called to serve God. And I'm not equipped to talk to anything, you know. And it's like, well, I'll pray for you. And then we sat there and we prayed for a couple minutes. And I came in and told Tim, and Tim's like, tell him to come talk to me. And I was like, okay. And so the next morning, someone broke the coffee pot. I won't say who. But we went, and he was going to buy the coffee pot, and there was Jack. And I'm like, hey, Tim, come up. No, Jack, you need to talk to Tim. And then, hello? Sorry. So, Jack, you need to talk to Tim. I walked away, and Tim disappeared for, I don't know, hour and a half. Yeah. And so I know you wanted me to share a little more. Figure out what it was. Sorry, it's been a very emotional week. Okay, so yeah, for you know, at the beginning of the trip, I basically was trying to hide my guilt, my shame, and God pretty much used it to glorify Him. And by the time we had Friday night, every night we do a debrief. Friday night we did our debrief, and I realized that, you know, I'm a pretty good listener for other people, but I'm not a very good listener to my children, my daughter specifically. And I wept that night, and I just made a promise to them that I would do better as a father, not continue the generational issues of our family, and just, you know, pray for them. And I wanted to be there for them no matter what. So anyways, that's just a glimpse of everything that went on this past week. But yes, yeah, crazy, crazy.
So, want to encourage you guys. I know you already said it today, but talk to people on the Portland trip. Everybody has stories, and a lot of it we're still just processing. A lot of us haven't done our final journal entries. Like, we don't even know what happened yet. We're still kind of in a little bit of a haze, but the fact that we met Jack at chapel, he was the one that protected, and all the coincidences that were happening, the fact that Lawrence was able to talk to him, you know, I felt God tugging on my heart, encourage him in something. I was like, what do you want me to encourage him? Okay, I'll tell him about his daughter, what she did. Lawrence, because of his vice, what he was trying to hide, was able to connect with residents that no other adult on our team could connect with, because we wouldn't have been outside. Exactly. So God planned Lawrence to be there. And the crazy thing is, Lawrence signed up about, 2 weeks before we left. He was the last person on our team, which means he was the 31st person to sign up to be on this missions trip with us. So these things keep happening. I have like 8 more stories that I want to tell you guys, but not all of them really fit into being an encourager. So here's the cool thing is Lawrence being there allows us to connect with some of the parents in ways that we weren't able to. That allowed me to spend an hour and a half with Jack, talking to him about his calling to ministry and encouraging him, talking to him, hey, it's going to be hard when you go through this. You're going to have these trials. And I got to talk, we exchanged numbers, and we talked about our favorite books. And because Lawrence, and every time I've said this to anybody related to Lawrence, they're shocked by it, but everybody else really agrees. Lawrence is a blessed and amazing listener. His ability to sit out there with people and hear their stories is what opened up a lot of doors. To listen to Jack opened up a door for me to be an encourager, and that was God was putting Jack on my heart the whole chapel. Just, I need you to encourage him. I need you to encourage him in what? Like, hey, your daughter's awesome. God's amazing. Like, I can do that. And he wasn't moved by it. But when I'm sitting with him going, man, I can see it. Like, the more you talk, the more I could see that you're passionate about ministry and wanting to serve and to teach. Like, do it. Don't stop. And it's going to be hard, and you're going to hit trials. He had went through something really hard in what he was trying to do in ministry about a week and a half before we got there. And he said, you guys being here has changed my whole perspective, being able to talk to you all. And so when we are ready to encourage people, we can encourage them to do things for God's glory, and we can see things in a way that they might not be able to. So that Friday night, that last debrief, I have one picture, and I'll end just with two last things. We have a picture of us doing an encouragement activity where you take a ball of yarn and you hold it and you say something encouraging about someone and you toss them the yarn. And they hold it and they toss it to someone else and say something that encouraging to them. And you create this amazing web of support. That night, we were in this boba shop, and we keep saying that like the top half of our faces and the bottom half of our faces didn't match. Like, we were all crying nonstop for about an hour and a half. Like, tears just ending, running out of tissues, and the bottom halves of our faces were just laughing because we were happy, so we're like, but it was a whole night of people saying, man, I see that you're hurting, and if you just give it up, God can use it. And we're like, Lawrence, I see that you're ashamed of this, but God used it. We still want to be with you to quit and to fight it, and we want to encourage you that, but you gave it up to God this week, and God used it. And we could see that in each other, and the encouragement that came out of this was so amazing, and people opening up to each other, it was beautiful, and it's something that happened all week. There are other things that happened, and we would love to tell you more about it. We met a guy, a homeless guy, that just started talking and saying, I don't want to be homeless, and people never see us. People walk by us all the time, which was the theme of our week, seeing people. Not just seeing the homeless, but seeing each other's strengths and weaknesses. And part of that is allowing yourself to be seen, allowing your weaknesses to be seen, so that others can encourage you in that. But this guy was saying, like, no one sees us. People walk by all the time. And he was like, I used to be a paramedic, and I've seen people die, and I've made promises to call their parents, and I've done that. And you know, I had a good job. I didn't want to be homeless. I didn't choose to be homeless. I'm 31 years old. I don't want to be homeless at 31. You know, like, oh my gosh, that conversation led us to encouraging someone else with packets of socks and conversations later that night. Another encouragement note that was written before we left was one that Yumi wrote for our team, and horrible leader failure. I keep forgetting to give things out, so I give this one out on Thursday evening to my team. The students read it, and it was from a drawing that was done on July 4th. Yumi took home cards that Christiana brought to write in and couldn't find them. So she grabbed a stack of papers, one that Emmy had done some drawings and stamps on, so she was using that one. She goes, "Oh, that's too messy. I don't know if they could read it." So she swipes, if you guys know my wife, you know that she would say that. And she swipes that one away, so she grabs a different paper and starts writing on it. Well, the paper was something that was drawn by a girl at a party at our house on July 4th, and it's a picture of an umbrella with rain. Oh, that's upside down. It was the other way. And so it's just random. Like, who draws that on July 4th? Like, it wasn't raining, and who knows? And so on the very last day, we're walking around, and this encouragement note was great for our team just to hear and speak life into us. And we're walking to our very last ministry to cap off the week, and at this point, I'm like, okay, God, like, we get it. Like, if nothing else happens today, it's okay. Like, if something's happened every day we've been here. And I get to the edge of a street and look at a crosswalk, and I just stop, and I'd made this face all week long. I just went, and I looked at the students that were with me, and that's the crosswalk, which I also did not take that picture upside down. So the fact that they both lined up, like, oh, God must have done that too. But do you guys see this crosswalk? Like, this was a paper that was drawn on July 4th that Yumi didn't plan on writing on, but somehow she grabbed it, that I didn't give it away to my team. I was going to read this on Sunday night when we got there, and I lost it. Shh, don't tell Yumi. And so I lost it, but I found it, and I gave it to my team on Thursday. So Friday morning when we're going to our ministry, we see this. All this centered around encouragement on a week where 2 months ago I planned to speak on being a visionary and seeing God in people's lives, and an encourager in encouraging people to do things for God's glory, even in your weakness. Let me read the main point again. The encourager, the visionary, is the person in your life that you love to meet with. Whenever you walk away from them, you leave feeling inspired to do more, encouraged to try harder, and full of energy to keep fighting whatever you are going through, like our every night debrief for all the different teams, like leaving that Friday night ball of yarn and Lawrence promising his girls, "I'm going to do better. I'm going to try." This person can see your potential, what you can do for us on that trip, what you can do tomorrow, what you can do when you get home and in this church, what you guys can do here in this community. This person can see your potential, and they could see the silver lining in each attempt and failure. And when we fail as leaders or as parents, we are ashamed and we try to hide it like those tiles, but if we allow ourselves to be broken and seen as broken, God will take that and make a beautiful mosaic. But sometimes you need the visionary and the encourager to see it from the outside and say, "I see your brokenness and I see what you're trying to hide. Give that up to God." This person can see your potential, the silver lining in each attempt and failure, and know when you're down and need positive words to be energized to continue on. They stand in contrast but also complement the truth teller as both work towards seeing you accomplish your goals by living out your giftings. Meeting together to encourage one another towards love and good deeds with a visionary and encourager leads to understanding your purpose, your calling, like talking with Jack, leads to being rejuvenated to continue on. Like we had to, our team, all 31 of us, every night had to be like, "Hey, let's keep going, let's do this. I know we're tired, get up, let's go." And it leads us and leaves us inspired to do, to love and to do good deeds. I don't have to go a lot into the practical aspects of encouraging people. I know we all know how to do it. But the one thing that I'll say is driving home in my car, after every ministry, I would hear people, and being in the dorms, I would hear people talking about other people in positive gossip. "Hey, did you notice?" Heard a lot of people like, "Hey, did you notice how awesome Ethan's doing this week? Hey, do you see how these people are stepping up? Hey, have you seen Kaylin and Rebecca? Or, you know, have you seen how these adults are taking steps in faith?" And I would look at them and I'd be like, "Hey, you should say that to them." Like, we notice things about people and positive things, but we don't always tell them. So to be an encourager and a visionary, take that extra step and walk up to someone and say, "Hey, I see what you're doing, and I think God can really use it, and it's really beautiful. Hey, I see God challenging you. Don't be afraid. Hey, I see you have this gifting, and I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but maybe you can use this for God's glory somehow. Hey, I see your weakness. Give it up to God. Let him do something. Because God has a purpose for your life. And guaranteed, that applies to all of you, that God has prepared good works in advance for you to do, but he'll only do it. The only way it'll work is if you give your life up to him and allow him to work in your brokenness and in your strengths and in your everything. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, would you put people into our lives that encourage us? Would you help us to be encouragers? Would you help us to speak life into each other's lives? God, it's easy for us to do that with other people, but it's hard to do with our own families. And so, God, first, would you help us break down the walls of what it is to speak truth to our families? A lot of times it's easy for parents to be truth tellers to their kids, to tell them what they're doing wrong, but we forget to be visionaries and encouragers and positivity for their lives. So would you help us to do that? With our friends, God, would you help us to see them, that they would be seen, like homeless people were telling us all week, people never see us. Well, God, people walk around every day feeling not seen. The person that sits in the cubicle next to us, the person on the bus, the person in our schools, the person that we hold the door open for, that walks past us, God, we can say simple words like, hello, how are you? How's your day going? Just so that they know that they're seen. And so, God, would you help us to see people? And as we see people, would you open our eyes to see how you're working? The one thing that we came away with being in Portland, God, is not that you do amazing things because we were on a mission trip, but that you do these amazing things all the time and we can't get away from them, and you're going to continue to do them even when we're home. The question is, will we open our eyes to see it? Will we see how you're working in our lives, and will we see how you're working in other people's lives? And as we see it, will we let them know, did you realize that God is working in your life? Do you see how he's connecting all these things together? Do you see how everything is being strung together in his perfect plan? Don't overlook it because he has a purpose for you. And so, God, would you help this church to be a church of encouragers that sharpen each other towards love and good deeds by seeing each other, by being visionaries of what can happen when we serve you, and by encouraging each other to do those things. God, would you be glorified in our lives? We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.